Our emotional discomfort is vital in allowing for growth. Doing whatever is necessary to relieve your discomfort is not a spiritually elevated action. Often, it's simply lazy.
This is Rise and Shine, a podcast that offers timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations to fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note. Here is Adrienne Gold Davis.
I get very anxious around disharmony of any kind. I will almost always make the first move to apologize. I follow my sword because I simply can't sit with the discomfort of the negative energy in my head. In fact, I feel it in my chest. It's trapped between my breasts. It presses into my bones. It's where I carry my anxiety. And it sometimes feels like a brick being pressed down slowly and steadily. It's not painful in a physical way, but man, psychically, it's excruciating. So over the years, I've often attributed my peacemaking qualities to be some kind of spiritual superiority, as if my willingness to make nice for the sake of peace is some spiritual level of excellence that I come by naturally. But if I'm completely honest with myself and with you, it's merely a function of anxiety and my need for comfort. And because I lack the ability to sit in discomfort, I have often let go of the big picture in order to ease the tension of being not liked or being thought of as too controlling. And I even struggle with this around my children. There are times where it's vital for me to take a stand and endure the discomfort of their anger and hostility, because often it provokes that. And yet, as I take that stand, my mind starts racing to the million and one reasons why I was wrong, why I should have handled my feelings differently, why I should have said nothing at all. Because what if they hate me? What if they stop speaking to me? What if something happens and our last exchange of our lives is an unpleasant one? How would I live with that? In a most dramatic example of this, I once returned to one of my kids' schools in the middle of a morning because I had left him angry and I was snappy during our morning drop-off from carpool. I spent the whole morning anxious, so I banged on the door in his grade 4 class until the teacher came. I told her, "I need to speak to my son. It's an emergency." She brought him to the door, and I took him out into the hall. I told him how sorry I was to start his morning off on the wrong foot and to leave him at school feeling my anger. He looked at me like I was nuts. I guess he'd grown accustomed to my morning grumpiness. And he said, "Okay, Ma, now please, just go away. It's fine. Just go now, okay?" In retrospect, I understood that what I was upset about that morning had significance and import, but the timing of dealing with it was everything. In Kohelet, or Ecclesiastes, it says that one who acts with compassion when firmness is called for will eventually act with cruelty when compassion is needed. What on earth could that mean? So listen to this. Years ago, I read a story about a woman who had a car accident. She had been drinking driving. She begged the police officer, "Be kind to me," she said. "Don't report my toxicology. Don't tell anyone. And you know me, and you know my father, and you know I'm fine, and please just let me go. Be kind." And he did. And not long, maybe 5 blocks after their interaction, she smashed into a pole and left herself permanently disfigured facially. And in hindsight, she understood that the officer's kindness had not really helped her at all. For the people pleasers among us, it's often easier to practice random acts of kindness than carefully thought out and actualized ones. As King Solomon reminds us, and as the musician Nick Lowe sings sometimes, You gotta be cruel to be kind, in the right measures. There is nothing spiritually elevated about thoughtless kindnesses that can lead to cruel consequences. Enabling is not loving. In AA, they have this wonderful phrase that says, what is detachment and what is loving detachment? Well, detachment is when your spouse comes home drunk and passes out on the kitchen floor. Detachment is simply leaving them there. Loving detachment is covering them up with a blanket, but leaving them there. Because a human being who is enabled has the ability to deny the state of their soul or their behavior. But a human being who is lovingly left to suffer the consequences of their behavior can hit their own bottom. And in Jewish wisdom, we call that a descent in order to make an ascent. Our emotional discomfort is vital in allowing for growth. Doing whatever is necessary to relieve your discomfort is not a spiritually elevated action. Often, it's simply lazy. I personally have a hard time distinguishing between the desire for spiritual elevation and peaceful relationships and the fundamental laziness that is truly at the root of hoping that all the pain will just go away. And just as mowing over the weeds on your lawn might make it look better in the moment, you will not have success weeding out your problem unless it's pulled by the roots. And that is very, very hard. And the voice in your head that tries to convince you that you're wrong and you need to apologize may not be the voice of truth, but rather the anxiety-controlling panacea that you've lived with and used your entire life. And you're not being true to yourself. And while it's generally always best not to sweat the small stuff and to choose peace over discord most times, while it necessitates humility and humanity to forgive the small slights and let go of the stuff that fills our minds, sometimes the best and holiest thing to do is to sit with the discomfort and stand your ground. Today, can you try to identify your anxiety hacks and ask yourself, before you yield to them, whether it may not be better to just sit in the discomfort? You know, Billie Holiday used to say, "Good morning, heartache. What's new?" She understood, as we must, that certain things take time and persistence and sometimes will make you unpopular with those you love and those whose approval you yearn for the most. And there will be heartache, and it will press like a brick on your chest. And this is why our tradition teaches us to make yourself a rav, a great teacher. Because getting the input and insight from outside of your busy, busy head will help you stay the course by giving you objective wisdom that you need whenever you need it. Who do you have in your life who can function as your advisor for all things behavioral and spiritual? Can you trust this person not to collude with you? To listen objectively? To help you figure out what is the right measure? Today, begin the search for an objective advisor who knows enough wisdom and can help you decide when to give in and when to stand firm. When is it time to make peace? And when is it time to stand your ground? Be scrupulously honest with yourself. Don't call your friend who always takes your side when you need the discomfort to go away. Sit with it and sit still until you can find out what the objectively right move is. Make yourself a person who yearns for truth, not a person who does whatever is necessary for their comfort. Because this world is not for comfort. This world is for growth. Begin your search. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Rise and Shine. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Momentum Podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join Adrian again next time for more timeless wisdom and uplifting meditations that fill your heart, feed your soul, and start your day on a positive note.
You're listening to a Momentum Podcast. For unlimited inspiration, wisdom, and empowerment, visit MomentumUnlimited.org.